Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon.
Well, it's just great. It's just a joy and a pleasure to be picked to be here.
Well, yeah, we did have a, you know, we had a real difficult time this week choosing someone, and you know, you kept coming to the top of the list, and then we're just so glad you can be here, and you know, that we can be part of Peter's talks. You know, I mean, it's exciting just to be welcome on board there, and you've been a great success. And how did you start Peter's talks?
Well, actually, that was a charity thing at first. Just okay. I wanted to help out people less fortunate than me, and
well, it's grown into this.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And you've taken this into the prison system now, and I see where you're actually having a good time with especially the ladies in the ladies institution that we spend a lot of time in. And I know you've met with every kind of lady in there, and so many of them unfortunately have addictions, and you know, and they're hurting a lot. And I know you, as we do, want to go a long way to not only set the captives free, so to speak, but to set the captives free from both prison, which doesn't really help an addict, and as well as the incarcerated sense of being an addict or being a slave to some kind of drug. So, and you make a difference there.
It's very rewarding. I'm sure I get more out of it than I give the women in there. It's, you know, and the really neat thing is that we're in touch with a few of the women who have got out of jail. Mm-hmm. And that is just great to just keep up, you know, that they know that we care about them, we actually care about them. And that's why I even like going into the jails. Like I've got a dysfunctional family, and I'm sure so many of those women, once they do something, they're going to jail. Surely their parents are just going to write them off, or their friends, and just so we can go in and say, hey, we care about you, you know, mm-hmm. We don't care what you've done, just we care, and maybe we can show you what we do with Sharing the Burden. And it's just great. And and actually one of the women that we were in touch with, she's been transferred to another facility, but she phoned my wife and I last week, and my wife mentioned that I'm scheduled for spinal surgery, and this woman wanted to pray for me.
Wow.
So she did. She said, put the phone on speaker. I want to pray for Peter. And she did, and like, that was very moving. This lady who's incarcerated, yep, and will be for some time, but just because I got to know her from seeing her a few times in jail, she's willing to do that. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, and that's something that I've noticed a lot too, is we'll be in there with these people, and they're, you know, at some point, like you say, at least as, if not more, interested in us, in our lives, and, you know, what we might need help with or something, than they are about their own situation in the middle of this jail, you know, and in this case, moving on to a penitentiary setting for a longer term, you know, and carry enough to want to pray for you and your well-being, and in the light of you know, what happened to her with her husband and so on, and I'm sure she's not just setting you up here.
I could be next.
But you know, folks, it's that serious, but it's that much fun too. And you know, we do go in and we visit with all kinds of characters, and almost inevitably there's drug and alcohol and involvement of that sort. As a matter of fact, today stats show that 80% of the imprisoned people in Canada are in as a direct or indirect result of substance abuse of some sort. So, you know, that means 80% of whatever dollars we're spending on people in prisons could be, you know, cut it down by about 90% and used for rehabilitation and go a lot further. So, you know, that's that figure has not been studied in great depth. But when I think of 8 out of 10 people in a prison are actually in there because they have a problem with booze, drugs, alcohol, addiction, compulsion, mental illness, that they're serving the time that's costing everybody so much, and they're not being exposed usually to a form of recovery that allows them to learn enough to be motivated, to be strong enough, to have the courage to withstand recovery, which we know, you know, from watching or whatever we've gone through ourselves, you know, seeing it live and knowing it, it hurts and it's hard. And if you're not motivated, if you don't find the hope, if you don't find that maybe you're worth something, maybe somebody really does love you, you're not going to take this step. And we've found that's the secret, you know, to get in this room or any one of these rooms in any one of these institutions, have the people really believe that we all check our documents and our colors at the door, whether they're in orange or green or blue or whatever they are, we're the same. And once accepted, we can actually love them, and they know we love them, they love us, and it's a forum that doesn't exist in most places, and it exists here in the midst of jails.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the fact that, I've been arrested for drunk driving, mm-hmm. and lost my license, and, you know, done some stuff that I shouldn't have. And I think once I tell the women that, they can feel more comfortable with me. Like, I'm just not some Bible thumper walking in saying, do this, you got to do this. Just going, hey, it could be me in here.
Yeah.
And just for the grace of God, it's not. And I think I can relate to them better that way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so great, and it's so great when we'll come in for a program and we'll pass some other girls in the hall that know us, you know, and it's just so cool. Oh, Peter, hi, how are you?
There's a special sense when the guards see people attracted to, you know, us old fogies coming through the halls, and you know, and these young ladies really obviously happy to see us. And I mean, I think that's great for the institution, because these guys, they, you know, most of them by and large, I mean, they want the girls to be up rather than down, because if they're down, they're a greater chore for those guys to look after. So you know, when we make them feel happy, they like that, you know. And if they don't, they shouldn't be there. You know, and, but anyway, like Peter, one of the things, and I think the reason they fall for you is because you're not run-of-the-mill. You know, I mean, look at you today. Folks, you don't want to see this, but you will, because I've taken a picture that will go out. And but Peter's
not having unshaven,
his hair's down to his, you know, partway down his back, and he's been mistaken for a prisoner.
I'm wearing a suit, remember.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the one day I was mistaken for a prisoner. That was hilarious. I went in with a lime green shirt, and we go in the women's jail, and the guard was looking through the window, and he could just see the back of me. And so he thought I was one of the prisoners, but then his count was off, and he was freaking out for the whole hour about Where'd that extra prisoner come from? Then I go and he says, hey, don't wear that color shirt, okay?
Yeah. And it's interesting, folks. If you saw Peter from the back, and he's a slim guy, and he had this exact same color shirt, this lime green, that they'd only been introduced to a short time ago. So, I mean, it was unfathomable for the guard to think that this guy had engineered this or something. And I don't know how many people he brought to the glass to do the count, but by the time we left, I think there was such a relief they didn't bother giving us heck for wearing the same colors as them. But anyway, I think they like Peter so much because he's just so real. He goes, that's who he is. He's had long hair, and he brought up in a Christian home, and a rebel at heart, I guess. And then, or maybe even not, just liking things a certain way and doing them caused him to be almost divorced from the faith. And then I think he lost a sense of the faith, didn't you? Like somewhere along there for a while, you know.
I didn't lose it. I just didn't hang out with Christians or go to church for a long time.
Yeah. Well, did you find in that time that your language and things like that might have, deteriorated?
Oh, no, Scott. Heavens, no. And... Scott's trying to get me in trouble. Yeah, basically.
But you love the guy. Tell us a little bit about Larry Norman, because that I know that's a piece of you that's really important, and that the guy's kind of like you. He had long hair and this and that, and you got to meet him, I guess, and talk to him and so on. And and he's made some really good, strong music. But he loves the Lord. And it comes through. And for we believers who aren't totally straight and narrow like myself. We like that. We're not too into the ear-to-ear smiles just because it's Sunday and the best suits and that. We'd rather try to be as real in the church as we are in the prison. And they get to know us over time because we go to the same building usually. But, when we bring in some people who may be, a little stinky and, maybe dressed a little worse even, you can see that people are uncomfortable and they don't like it. And that's where the faith loses credence, doesn't it? I mean,
Yeah, for sure. Well, the thing I always say is, if the people that Jesus hung around with showed up at our church, they wouldn't be let in. Just because of their appearance or what they wear or whatever,
That's an interesting statement because, we've all seen that. Someone comes along and happens to have liquor or beer or something on their breath and talking a little too fast, and immediately it's rejection. It's not, that is not fitting for the cause. And yet, as you said, the author of the faith would be with the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and the criminals, even to be murdered in the end with a couple of criminals. I mean, it's an ironic story, and yet the biggest faith still, I think anyway, is built around that stuff. And what a misconception! I mean, you couldn't have long hair. You couldn't do this.
It was a real problem when I didn't wear a suit to church. That was like, well, you got to wear a suit.
Yeah.
And I go, well, like, did Jesus wear a suit? I'm not so sure he did, really. And. Then I started growing my hair, and I was just like, whoa, you're a Christian, you can't have long hair.
Well, yeah.
So, but all these pictures I see of Jesus, didn't he have long hair? Like, was that an actual photograph? Or anyway, no, everything's good. I just... some Christians, unfortunately, are very narrow-minded, and they get so caught up in their own religiosity, whatever you call it, that they can't even communicate to the real people.
Yeah.
You know, they hang around with Christians. Everything they do is with Christians. And, like, that wasn't me. I just, I was a Christian, but I wasn't going to church because I had just been turned off by all the shallowness of, like we've mentioned, oh, your hair is too long, you're not wearing a suit, and well, yeah, I don't really need this. But thankfully, I was brought up in a Christian home, and there's a verse in the Bible, bring up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's older, he won't depart from that.
Yeah.
So I was able to help my mom look after my dad for about 10 years. And, and then after they passed, I reconnected with an old friend of mine who was a Christian, who I happened to marry, and neither one of us were attending church at the time, and we both said, hey, we got to go to church. And the funny thing is, we were just driving up a street in Markham, and we saw this building, the Olive Branch. And I said, hey, I've heard about that. Maybe we should go there. Try and see what it is.
And you know, we'll put a little word in for them while we before we break. But folks, the Olive Branch has been great to sharing the burden, and it is a real welcoming place. Whether it's you know, Sunday or any other day, or one of the days when we're having meetings, and we just did a poinsettia drive there on the weekend just to help us out and get us a little more funds to do some of our transportation of people to and from the. The Milton institutions, where we go several times a week. And anyway, they've been, they're real partners. As a matter of fact, several on staff there who are right up at the top and then moving downwards are interested in coming in and not only associating with, but helping Peter and I and some of the ladies who go in there as regular volunteers and facilitators. And I think, folks, that's going to change the complexion of church in a whole area, because these are influential people, and they're also people who, you know, who love what they do, and they love their God the way they understand their God. And I think when they come in and see the magic that can happen in these jails, I think they're going to come back with another piece of a story that is so much closer, as we say, to the author of the faith and in his reality and how he lived and so on. That seen in the right view and the right perspective will be almost a new way, a new beginning. Not for our church, but for people to see and to work on the stratas, these areas that will lift people in a special way, and lift them in an area that normally doesn't get any lifting, if you know what I mean. So it's as though if my dream comes true and we can really teach these inmates recovery, which will not only free them from booze and drugs and things like that over time, but it'll give them a faith, a roadmap for life, and a reality to share with others. And by sharing that in an area where sharing hasn't happened, numbers going the right way and not returning to prisons could be dramatic, you know. And that's I look so forward to just that thought getting out there and being able to repeat something like that again without forgetting all the words. But anyway, Peter, hold on to all your thoughts. We've been going here straight for a bit, and we're going to have to take a break. We're 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Folks, Stouffville could really use a sharing meeting, and that's all it is, a sharing, safe place to meet. Help us, find me, find Scott, find Peter, but find Scott at sharingtheburden.ca. And we'll get you all set up, and we'll get it running for you, and we'll show you how you can benefit as well as those who come to your side. So with that, we'll defer to Jay and see what he wants to do with 102.9 FM and sharing the burden.
Good morning, Scott. Yes, and good morning, Peter. Great to have you here. And it's time to pay some bills, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.